Here,
you snooze, you lose. You know, they're late, they're late.
That's right.
Call the meeting to order one more time.
Calling the meeting to order. We have a quorum. I guess you could take roll, Jay. I think that's what they do.
I got it.
You got it. Okay. There's no minutes to read from our last meeting because we've never had a last meeting. This is the start of something a little different. The first on the agenda, so that Evan doesn't have to stay here from the controller's office any longer than he wants to, is a proposed law from the controller's office concerning the collection bins and storage collection bins that are in post office areas, firehouses, etc.
I'll move it.
Yeah.
We'll move it. Okay.
Second.
And second, would you like to?
Sure. So we, the comptroller's office, offer this as a consumer protection piece through and through, in the same vein as the gasoline disclosure bill, as well as the price check accuracy bill. We think that, you know, this is a logical projection of all that. So to protect the taxpayers and residents of Ulster County, prevent them from potentially donating to a service that may have for-profit intentions or may be potentially misleading or non-disclosed, we thought it would be necessary to institute a permit and regulatory process that also allows them to disclose exactly whether they are a for-profit or not-for-profit entity, and then provides penalties therefore. So I pulled from about half a dozen different jurisdictions, statewide and countrywide, towns of Huntington, Hempstead in New York, Cinnaminson, New Jersey, as well as Clifton, New Jersey, New York City, as well as the states of Tennessee, Connecticut, New York's latest proposal, and the Attorney General's best practices, and assembled them into what we thought would be best for, again, to accomplish disclosure, regulation, aesthetic and safety requirements, and penalties for noncompliance. So I did take a chance to look at the materials from the SMART group that was sent. Just personally, I think that 85% of that is incorporated into the bill. As far as specifics, we can smooth that out going along. But I think big picture-wise, the vast majority of that is incorporated into here by, again, pulling from those other municipalities that have already had that on the books for several years. So, any other questions that you guys want to?
Well, first of all, thanks for coming.
Of course.
And it's nice to have the department head or the real staff expertise here. It's nice, and I do thank you. And I'm glad you were able to read that and your comments. I'd like to postpone it so we can have some discussions to see what you would agree would be appropriate or is already in there or already is in the intent or already is in the language. And
from what I've heard thus far, I mean, it sounds like very, I don't want to say technical, but less than substantive concerns to address.
And if I just heard you, you said there are some non-for-profits and some for-profits, and you don't know it. It's not like you don't want for-profits doing it.
No, of course. I saw that in one of their recommendations to continue to allow for-profits. Absolutely.
Because I would be aghast if...
The only distinction that we included was from the boss, too, of just waiving the permit fee.
The what?
The permitting fee for not-for-profits. But again, if that wants to be discussed, we're open to that as well. But no, the practice would be allowed for everyone, but the key is the disclosure piece to give people an idea of what they're actually donating to.
So in other words, if I wanted to, there were two bins within a half a mile and one was for Salvation Army or somebody that I recognize for the sake of argument, and one was for John Parody, you know, local bin operator, I can make a choice as to...
Absolutely. But I mean, one of the groups that we looked at has charity in its name, and it's not a registered not-for-profit. So that's deceptive.
So that's a little deceptive, yes, to say the least.
I tell you what I'd like to see. I mean, I know we're going to postpone this till next month, but within that time period, there's going to be a lot of amendments to this, because I could see certain things that bother me. You know, one of them is the enforcement section. It's really, you know, how did we come up with the Department of Health Environmental Sanitation Division to be like the code enforcement agent?
Wouldn't you think that
Consumer Affairs, or, I mean, do we even have a Consumer Affairs Department anymore?
We have a Weights and Measures Department, which handles things like this, but they're, what, like two employees there?
Yeah.
Well, they're usually weighing and measuring.
Right.
I struggled to firmly place it. Again, if we want to talk about that, that's fine. But, I mean, the only person that really made sense was the sheriff, and that's why they were included as well.
And the other thing would be, I'd like to see a graduated fine instead of $250 a day first, you know, first offense.
I think it was up to in the language, but
I can tell you that our caucus members and Legislator Belfilio is definitely one of them. Like to see lower fines, but you know, for the start, but graduated fines, not to exceed. Sometimes it's one of the issues in the anti-bullying law is that it's up to $1,000. You know, first offense. You know, normally, and we've changed things in the past to be, you know, $50 for the first fine, $100 for the second fine, $250 for the third, and all subsequent fines. So we'll see.
Is there anything else in this local law that gives the onus on the box holder to make sure that it doesn't become like a garbage dump?
Absolutely, and that's where we're getting at.
Where is that?
As well.
Because I see that a lot.
What's that, Carl? I missed.
These drop boxes are only, you know, supposed to be for clothes and shoes and things, and you got somebody who's got a mattress and a bed spring and a TV that's sitting outside the box, and they sit there for weeks looking like a mattress.
Because it's not there.
That's on the last page.
Well, no, I understand that, but, you know,
the last page, the second to last paragraph.
I mean, I have those things dropped off at the end.
Where?
Somebody comes with their truck or their car, and the next thing I go out and it's two televisions.
Yeah, page 5.
Last paragraph?
The second to last paragraph before section 5, section B, paragraph B. All right. The registrant shall maintain the donation box structurally sound, clean, tamper resistant, sanitary condition, being regularly emptied, either monthly, whenever full, or within 7 days of a request. And then registrants will have 7 days to remedy overflowing, yada yada. But, and that 7 day time frame was included in the state law.
All right. Yeah, because one of the things, that, and I do see this a lot, and I know we have one of these boxes at our transfer station, and I go at least twice or three times a month, and I see that kind of, you know, well, nobody's looking, there's a TV, or there's a piece of electronics or a couch or something, and that's really an environmental hazard, because sometimes they dump stuff there that's really bad.
Usually the mattresses are big, sitting right there. Couches or love seats. Yeah.
Chemicals, yeah. You know, paint, old paint cans.
At least at a transfer station, they can only get there when it's open, and there's always staff around.
Well, this is outside. It's outside the fence. Well, it's kind of like inviting them to say, oh, the transfer station's closed.
Yeah,
okay.
Right. Yeah.
Rich Evans is with Elliot, we've received some material that you probably got from some different groups that Evan has read, and he says, you know, a good maybe 80%, 75-80% of what they're suggesting may already be in the legislation, but we're going to hopefully postpone this while we sit and chat and talk and
one or two I've gotten are generally positive. They just said they'd be, you know, they're not opposed to it. They just, that's a couple of questions.
And I just don't believe we have to be in a rush. You know, if we do it and we give everybody a chance to say their piece, it's a lot stronger.
Whatever nitty-gritty particulars you want to get into, we are all ears. So.
Well, let me wait till Manna Jo gets back and see if she wants anything. Ken, you wanted to say something?
I just had a question. I'm looking through this again, and maybe it's clear, and I'm making it less clear than it is. Do you need a separate permit for each Dropbox? If a company has 10 Dropboxes, do you need 10 permits, or do you have one permit for every company that has Dropboxes?
I think that can be worked out as far as the permit form.
It says the exact form and content of the permit shall be determined at the clerk's discretion, but shall include at least and conspicuously state the following. I just didn't know if that was something that I'm just throwing that out there as an idea. That's something we might want to make clear. Might not want to leave it up to the clerk's discretion.
That's fine. Because the intent is to have every box labeled. So.
And what was the reasoning that for the clerk's office? I'm just curious.
Just a central repository of documents.
Let me wait till Manna Jo comes in. Manna, would you have anything you'd like to ask Evan about or comment on? Or
I think the only thing I recall when we discussed it in our caucus was a question about whether or not there really is a problem. In other words, there's a fine line between legislating to correct a problem and over-legislating. You know, do we really need this legislation here in Ulster County? And so, you know, Carl says he's seen problems. I haven't where, you know, in our area, the boxes that exist are well used. They make money for the town. They are well used at both transfer stations. So I haven't seen a problem, but, and other than that, I my only other thought was, if this committee didn't exist, I would assume this would go to energy and environment. And I'm just wondering if we should have... No?
No, I would think...
Laws and rules, if anything.
Laws and rules, probably.
Who is
because
that?
Because it's a law.
Well,
yeah.
I would think that it'd be more along the lines of whatever has, like, weights and measures or the health... I mean, the health department, I guess, because the health department's doing the enforcement, but...
Okay. I was thinking because solid waste is ACRA and ACRA reports to energy and environment. That was my connection.
Yeah. Well, the impetus behind this in Evan's position is information from the Attorney General.
Right.
Concerns that they had.
Yeah.
So they've crafted this. As you said before, a lot of the suggestions, or a number of the suggestions that have come from the professional groups, he mm-hmm. feels already incorporated in it.
Yeah.
We'll have time to discuss it and talk about it. And
so when it is being discussed, it just seems to me that any other committees that have a connection to the problem should at least look at it, not necessarily have to sign off on it or vote on it, but... You know, and the RRA, you know, they may not say anything at all. They may say it's a great idea, but I don't know.
It's got nothing to do with garbage or trash.
The
donations, it is.
It's part of materials management, to me.
What here ends up getting thrown out?
Pardon?
There's no intent to throw this stuff out, is there? It's all reusable clothing. And
yeah, it's not garbage. It's
not
clothing.
Garbage.
Well, we hope not, at least.
Unless
well, this is a way of diverting it. Right. But if these boxes weren't there, certainly a lot more of it would go in the garbage. So it's a great practice. I totally support the practice. But I just, want to be sure it's well vetted.
Well, you open up a can of worms now because if there is trash in front of the bins...
Yeah.
All right. Because of flow control, these companies have to take that trash, the resource recovery, not out of county.
As well, they should.
Well, but okay, in the purest recycling philosophical position, these things are ideal. Well, I'd like to entertain a motion to postpone this.
So moved.
I'll second.
Seconded. Discussion?
Postpone for a month.
In a month, yeah. I mean, we're gonna move forward and really try to make it the right thing, whatever that might be.
Absolutely.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much for coming, sir. I appreciate that very much. And, you know, you...
Yeah, I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's just start a little bit with where we may or may not be going with this this whole enterprise here. Ken, did you want to chat anything about what your philosophical thing is with this committee, or what we're looking for, what I've always been concerned about myself,
you know,
as you know?
I mean, you know, my vision for the committee is to, you know, we've passed, you know, thousands of resolutions, almost 100 local laws, you know, countless policies over the last 10 years or so, at least since I've been here. And the question I have, as Legislator Green brought up a few minutes ago, that's why I giggled at myself a little bit, you know, have we been over-legislating? Are there things, you know, enactments or resolutions or policies that we've passed that are hindering business development or other aspects of the government? You know, are they accomplishing their stated goals? Are they useful? Should we amend them to make them better? Should we, you know, vote to rescind them? You know, that sort of thing. And I feel like, you know, that kind of review lends to a more efficient, more responsive county government. So.
Well, what about also looking at local laws and see how they benefit the county?
Absolutely.
Not just, you know, because one of the ones that I was trying to get at NYSAC was the, you know, the sparkler fireworks law. Like, I wanted to see how much revenue we took in from sales tax from the sparklers.
That's and a great question.
They did have a sheet of all the counties in New York State that did enact this local law. But I think it was more of a economic impact accounting, and they said something around $500,000 of economic impact to Ulster County. Now, I don't know if that meant if you bought $80 worth of sparklers and then you went out to dinner,
right,
and then the guy who sold them to you went out to dinner and stayed in a hotel, you know, is it multiplied by five or whatever?
Or people coming to your house stopped and got a 12-pack on the way to your house.
Exactly, right. So, but it'd be good to know things like that,
yeah,
too, because... Yeah. That would be beneficial to know whether or not we still want to keep that local law or not.
Well, in that regard, there's a couple of things that we found, mm-hmm, been over the last few years that are on the books. For instance, on October 11th, 2001, this body passed a policy with regards to project labor agreements for construction projects in excess of $1 million. Well, it's here. Are we doing it? Should it be repealed? Should we hear from the labor groups as what they think? I mean, we could, but I mean, it's obviously, it doesn't say it must be, it just says they have to be reviewed. Any capital project over $1 million. It's not happening. It's nobody's fault. This has gone through 16 administrations, probably. But here's another one from Robert Parody. Required healthy vending options in county buildings. Well, we had our crack staff and associates go out and do a little non-scientific study of the vending machines. Now, if we're going to have it, either we have it. It's either a yes or a no. This is rather insignificant. But there's a lot of these things.
Well, that's just the easiest one to find out. You just go out and look at the machine and audit it for...
Well, we can do that at least to show we're doing something in the beginning, as we say, we're not just spinning our wheels. I mean, for instance... in my opinion, this committee is could very well become the more important committee in the county because of its charge. And I'll just read a little bit of that. But I'm going to give you a couple of, for instance, this year, one of the things we passed was the false alarm law. You know, these fire personnel and rescue squad folks and emergency services are racing to an alarm, and it's now by next year and the year after that we'll be able to see, did this make a difference? Mm-hmm. How many alarms do we have? That should be a continuing process to the legislature by whomever is responsible for getting it. There was a couple of other ones that I don't know, where did I keep to put them, Jay? I mean, well, okay, I do have people ask me all the time about when the infirmary was sold. Because they voted yes, because we had to put $45 million into the building, and well, we haven't put $45 million into the building, and it was sold for $10 or $12 million, and I'm not griping about that. I'm only saying that this is what people come and say to me. Mm-hmm. Well, when you do this, why don't you try to find out? You don't want to know what, folks? I wrote a letter to find out what that building was insured with for over the last 8 or 10 years before it was sold. So I would have, in the back of my mind, an agreed amount. Was it insured for $3 million, $5 million, $10 million, or $45 million? I didn't get an answer yet, and it's, what, 6 or 8 months now. I'm not going to jump into this. This is not some sort of a remembrance group. I'm not here, as some folks have thought, where I'm looking to torpedo somebody. But my point is, there's plenty of things that we really ought to be interested in knowing how well they're working. And I'm not going to go any further. I had a couple of other things in mind, but I don't know where I put them.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
May I ask a question? So how far is this committee charged with going back on local laws?
2001.
Well, I can tell you that I purposely didn't put a specific criterion on there. I feel like when you drill down to a specific from here to here, you might miss things that will come along as part of the discussion in the committee. I feel like in a committee like this, leaving the most discretion to the committee chair and the committee members is important.
You know, I mean, the two things I mentioned are earth-shattering, but they're just kind of a pretty quick example of something that's on the books.
Right.
It's not, and if it's no good,
the dog tethering.
Get rid of it.
So many people were arrested for the dog tethering law.
Yeah, we can see that.
I can't get my dog on the tether. He hates it. I got to walk him. Well, one of the things, just to quickly state, like on the local law for the healthy vending options, I look at the options that are offered there, and sugar is not healthy. And a lot of these, like protein bars or granola bars, have a ton of sugar in them. So I don't know. Maybe we need to define healthy, because when this local law came by, I thought maybe there'd be apples and carrot slices, yeah, you know, or something in there. And
I mean, I
snack wells are considered healthy, and they got a ton of sugar in them.
Healthier.
It's, you know, beverages in the vending machine shall be 100% fruit or vegetable juice, water, fruit-based drinks containing less than 50, containing at least 50% juice, and no added caloric sweeteners. All other non-caloric beverages, including diet sodas, sports drinks, less than or equal to 100 calories. You know, snacks not more than 250 calories, does not contain trans fat during processing, gluten-free, peanut-free.
And they have little green stickers on the selection, right? That's how we know that they're healthy in the machine. Right?
I don't think so.
So, again, my point is, what are we going to be doing? You know, I can't see myself.
So can we get a list of all the local laws passed in the last 5 years?
Well, local laws or resolutions, either one.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it's like reading a phone book.
No,
you know,
not
I'm not going to sit there and
local or things that are directing or a policy. Actually, policy, local laws that are policies, to see, then to go back to see if the policies have been enacted, see if they've been.
I make a motion for legislator Rich Parry to take all that information and disseminate it and bring it to the committee.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yes, ma'am.
A comment and a question. I think if we're going to do a review, we probably should do it in some kind of systematic way and not try to do all of it at once. And I don't know if it's going to be chronological, and certainly if people have concerns. I do like the idea of periodically reviewing what's there and asking, is it being enforced? Does it need to be? A lot of the points that you've made. What I'm not so clear on is what is different about this than laws and rules? Why would this not fall directly on that function? Now, there are other functions of this group in terms of efficiency and reform, but why would this not just fall?
What does laws and rules do? They pass
current
laws on rules.
Yeah.
They don't
go back to see about laws and rules that were passed.
Do the efficiency of they don't go back and review the operation or the results of the law.
They don't go back to see if flow control's been good or not, if it's worked, what the impact of flow control has been. They just pass flow control. And then you're done. This is a committee that could go back and look at all the solid waste costs, all the different costs, the effects on the towns, the effects on the payers. That's what this committee would do to say, hey, flow control's reduced trash. Flow control, the trash has gone up 75%, or just pass that on to any other laws. Like an example is I think we passed a law or a resolution a few years ago after the jail debacle, because when we built the jail, we went and found out that during the design process, some employees and staff wanted these big, huge offices. And you had like one person sitting here and they had an office as big as this room. So we then went and passed a resolution saying that there were certain requirements for any county projects. Offices could only be a certain size now, unless they could bring forward a reason why offices needed to be bigger. Have we followed through on that? We're talking about building county space now for the court systems. I mean, they should adhere to the size of those offices so we don't build this massive building and walk in and you find out one person sitting there and they've got conference tables when they don't need it. Yeah, we passed a resolution at one point. Remember, Tom?
Yeah. In fact, if they paid attention to the resolutions beforehand, we would have never gotten to the jail.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, because we'd walk in and there'd be a detective that had an office. It was like, what would somebody need? Because they were sitting there with the architect saying, right, well, I want this and I want that and I want. But now we pass guidelines to say, no way. You want an office? This is the size of your office. If you need it bigger, then you need to justify why you want it bigger.
And there's supposed to be an oversight committee as soon as they started.
Right. I mean, there's probably been no construction projects since then, but we do have one coming up or something's going to be coming
down.
Big one. So, but we can. You know, the community college, we've passed money for them.
We got to look at that.
What are their offices? I'm not being critical of them. I'm just saying, there's been dozens of resolutions like that.
You know, as my good friend, the sheriff, who was against building that monstrosity, says today, I got the best office in the state of New York.
Well, Bachman wanted a shower and a sauna.
It's in there. It's still in there.
But isn't
a sauna?
They wanted a shower.
Rotundas.
Isn't
he had a
following
in the office?
Yeah, there's a shower in there. No sauna.
If there's a law that limits the amount of space, isn't that the responsibility of Public Works and Capital Projects to review the legislation and
No, they're passing legislation. They're not going back 6 months or a year later to say, is this legislation
that's the purpose for a separate committee. Because sometimes, you get so bogged down in these committees in passing the resolutions and looking at the contracts and things like that if you had the committee, it's the same reason why last year I fought so hard for the UND Corridor Advisory Committee, because I kept being told by the executive and certain other people that Well, that's what economic development's there for. I said, yeah, but we have a lot of other work that the Economic Development Committee does. It's really good to me. I'm in favor of, I don't want to say more committees, because that's not the right way to put it, but not trying to consolidate everything into one committee or three committees or five committees, because then nothing's ever going to get done. You know, and I've seen, like, in laws and rules, you know, we've been talking about, you know, this rules change or that rules change or this charter change or should we move things around? And then it's sort of, well, we have so much stuff on the agenda, we'll talk about it next month. Oh, we'll talk about it next month. And next month never comes.
But also, when you're building a building, for instance, as simple as that,
yeah,
these legislators don't design a building.
No.
It's the boss. I mean, we're not here to criticize anybody. Because you go back 6 years, it was the boss was the legislature. But they need a building, so they go out and get an architect, and they do what they got to do. And, you know, we have a very good friend who helped us bring a project manager in to get this thing done, to get it done. And he helped immensely. And Richie was involved, did it. But he knew out in Cincinnati, they had allocated the county $300 million or $600 million for two stadiums, a baseball stadium and a football stadium. They wound up at one stadium because Arrowhead Stadium, the architect and the owners were buddies. And the hospitality rooms were there. It was just, there was no money left over for the baseball field. Well, I guess if you have guidelines to say you don't do that, or you have some oversight, or they're not doing it, and maybe we'll find out everything's okay. Who knows? So that's what this is all about. I mean, this committee, I could think of a lot of things that I wonder how we're doing in it. And sometimes, you know, we're concerned with efficiencies, we're concerned with effectiveness, and we're also concerned about the economy. But I'll give you an example of something that, let's talk about rural transit. Is it efficient? Is it effective? It sure is. Does they do their job in an efficient manner to take care of the folks that need rides? Yes. Is it economical? I'm not so sure. But is it important? It sure is. So then you lay down criteria after that, and if you write a report, you write it, so forth. But that's sort of what we're looking for. Effectiveness, efficiencies, the economy of the whole thing. I don't want to bring them up tonight because I have a whole list of things. How will we get things to study? Every legislator can go out on their own. They can come to us and say, I'd like to start reviewing X. If we move down that road, the committee can vote on it.
Other countywide elected officials could bring stuff. You know, the sheriff, the DA, the clerk, the comptroller.
Yes.
I just would like to ask that if it's a law that's promulgated, you know, that originated in a committee, that the committee also have a chance to weigh in.
They do. Why would a committee not have a chance to weigh in on it? Manna, I understand what you're saying. I don't think you understand. You're getting confused about the roles. When a committee passes a resolution.
Yeah.
You haven't been here a long time, but have they ever gone back to check up on that resolution to see the results of it?
No.
Yes or no?
I don't know.
That's this committee's
the
job.
Answer?
That's this committee's job. Because you know what? The committees aren't going to do it. They don't have time. Every month they're getting 3, 6, 9 new resolutions. They're passing them.
But
and
if
not
we're
going to.
I'm sorry. If we're going to make a change, I'm suggesting, as I did.
Who's making a change?
If the purpose is to review
right
and
now,
then
let's
make
put it
recommendations.
This way. Right now, nobody's reviewing. Nobody's reviewing in the county.
Okay.
When we pass a law, no legislative committee is doing a review. So what's going to change?
What I agree with the need to review and, you know, to look at the various different aspects. I think those are right on in terms of, you know, efficiency, effectiveness, economy, all of that. I just think that if it came out of a committee, that it should go back to that committee, just as I asked.
Wait a minute. Let me just finish.
No, because
I just talked about the project labor agreement. Now, if the committee decided this should be changed, we don't change it.
That's right.
It goes to a committee. It would go to a committee to say, this hasn't been enforced, it hasn't been used, it's not workable. And it goes to the, give me the name of the committee, Economic Development, the Buildings and Grounds. It goes to somebody to say, what do you want to do about this?
This is in front of this committee, so if you could understand why I might be confused. Here's a piece of legislation that is coming to this committee.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to, if this committee didn't exist, last year, if you had come up with this, we would have had to find, you know, certainly laws and rules, but a lot of times before something gets to laws and please.
It's going to laws and rules.
No, but this committee is sponsoring that resolution. We're sponsoring this resolution.
I understand that.
Okay.
But
and it's coming from the controller, who works with this committee.
Okay.
The controller reports to this committee, whatever that means.
I just want to be sure that this committee is not going to be changing things that relate to other committees' work without it going back to them. That's what I'm
Nothing's
asking.
Changed
what this committee is
going to
do, my understanding of this committee is they're going to do, they're going to look into the information, the law, the resolution, say, these are the results, A, B, and C, no action's been taken, or this, if it's a financial thing, here's the results of this resolution, safety net, you can do whatever. Here's the results of it. The committee then could say, geez, this isn't working. Let's change the language. Let's change the law. Let's do this. This committee's not going to change the law. They're just going to come up with reports and basically.
Well, I had a different impression, given that there was already a resolution that came directly to this committee. So I thought that this committee was going to be proposing resolutions about former pieces of legislation.
No, but individual legislators on a committee could send them to other committees.
Sure. Or the committee could.
Or the committee could send it to.
But it still goes to somebody for review.
The reason that this resolution is in here is because the two departments that report to this committee are the comptroller's office and ACE, and the comptroller's office was the one that proposed the local law.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And what's the other one?
ACE, the Accountability, Compliance, and Efficiency Division.
Report to this committee.
And I can see that if a law is written well and there's no problems with it, but it's not being enforced, I think it would be this committee's responsibility to bring it forth to whatever committee handles the oversight of the person who's supposed to serve and enforce it, to tell them it's not being done. I mean, you don't need to draft another local law to do that or amend the law unless there's a loophole that allows them not to do the things that we ask them to do, but just to say, hey, this is not being done. You guys need to you're the oversight committee. Get on them.
You know what they do at the other level that we all like to throw rocks at, where appropriations is the most important committee in Congress? You're not doing it? You got appropriations for that? They work. They take the money away. Now you don't have it anymore. You haven't been doing it? But you don't do that in a vacuum. You don't do it in a vacuum. You got to have your colleagues working with you. But at that level, that's what they do. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you're spoiling your report. Your charge was children with measles. You take care of children with measles. Let me see how many children with measles have you taken care of in the last 5 years, because we know there's 10,000 cases of measles. Four. Well, you're not doing your job. We'll take that money away from you. That's what they do at that level. We don't do it, but the legislature could do it. The executive could do it.
Thank you.
So anyway.
And another thing, too,
Rich?
Over the last 15, 18 years, there's probably been 25 different committee names.
Right.
So they change every year. So there may be a committee that passed a local law that doesn't exist today.
Well, then we have to figure out where it needs to go.
But it's fine.
What
you were saying at the beginning, if that committee doesn't exist, then nobody would do anything about it. That would just...
No, we'd find a place. I had a different impression, and the impression came from the fact that we had a resolution. So I thought we were going to be passing resolutions and laws that are amending former pieces of legislation here in this committee without it necessarily going back to where it came. So now that I understand that, I'm fine. And
This committee is going to see if things are working or not working. What's worked, what's not worked.
I'm fine with
what's,
that.
What rules and resolutions are being followed, which ones aren't being followed.
Yeah.
It's pretty, I think.
I mean, just to throw something out there, you know, we have a local law on recycling.
Yeah.
In the county. Who is the enforcement agent? I know it's the RRA. They don't have the resources to do this. But who goes around to all the businesses to find out whether or not they've got recycle bins, you know, in the cubicles or in areas, and then what are they doing? Are they recycling or not? And that's a biggie, because here's a law that had good intentions, but it's got no enforceability.
Even the private citizens.
Oh, yeah.
There is an
enforcement
officer.
Yeah, but they
can't. Well, I know there is, but I mean,
they can't enforce 87,000 households in Ulster County and another 7,000 businesses. They can't.
Having been there, I can tell you that it takes a little bit of enforcement to get a lot of people to comply, because they don't want to be next. And the towns that do that with littering, and as soon as people are starting to enforce, and you know, that's an area that I'd be very interested in following up.
Okay.
I have a request that is, you know, probably comes under, new business or whatever.
All right. Well, anyway, anything else on at least our, we're going to put something in writing as to what we just talked about. You know, conduct program evaluations. That's really what we're doing. See if they're working. Strengthen the programs or make recommendations for changes. We don't know where it's going to go. But I have a feeling that there could be a lot of things out there that are being ignored or not done at least the way it was envisioned, maybe rightly, maybe wrongly.
You know what? I mean, even another thing, man, I've had people on RFP processes, RFPs, they've said, they've called me, they said they were the middle person, the low person, Ulster County business, and the award went to a firm from Albany or Syracuse that was 15% more. I mean, do we know why? You know, nobody's reviewing these. We don't review them to see why. Are they giving campaign donations? I mean, who knows why? But nobody's reviewing the decisions that are being made. And I've gotten multiple calls from local businesses and vendors that say, I don't get any work, and I was the low bidder on this one. And there was the guy that got the job is from four counties away, and he was $25,000 more. Is anybody reviewing that?
Well, the procurement policy that Ulster County has is very intricate, and it's changed recently to actually favor the county, you know, over the vendor. But yeah, we're not privy to the RFPs. They're sealed documents.
Opened, they're eventually opened.
Well, yeah, they are. Okay. But, I mean, the current policy is vast, and we'd have to really examine that if you were going to take that route, you know, on every single case, because on every single case, I believe the county's doing the right thing, but it is so complicated and so many loopholes in it, you don't have to take the low bidder. You don't have to take the person from in-state. I mean, from in-county. In-county, they get, 2 points, 5 points, whatever, on a scale, but...
What percentage of the ones are we taking as low bid? What percentage is the high bid?
Right.
No, we have no idea.
Sure. No.
So, I'd like, you know...
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you. I think it's a good idea. I just think that the way our procurement manual is set up right now, it's set up to benefit the county, definitely not to benefit the taxpayer or the vendor, you know, and it's probably to protect the county. From lawsuits and whatnot, but
all right,
it's something to review.
New business?
A question.
Go ahead.
It's about the time. It's a real hardship for me to get here at 4:30, and I don't know. We haven't heard from Legislator Lauren I know he works up in Albany, and I just wonder if people would be willing to meet a little later, because, you know, in order to get here at 4:30, I have to leave at 3:30, and, you know, from Beacon.
So. You know, we could take everything under advisement. I have to hire somebody to work for me. He was could be in Brooklyn or in Beacon. So to get here today for his other committee, he had to take off. He asked, could you schedule this so I only take off a half a day or a quarter of a day once a month or twice a month? I don't have any problem making some changes, but, you know, Ways and Means meets at 4:30 on a regular basis, and it seems like they get their people there all the time. They do. It's what they meet. I'll talk with you, Rich, Lauren. He hasn't said a word. I can be here. Carl didn't complain about too much. He got here, and he was in Marlboro. So as long as at this point, Richie's on Laws and Rules,
which is 6 o'clock,
and this sort of kills two birds with one stone.
5 o'clock?
Would 5 o'clock be better, Manny?
It would be much better, because then I can leave at 4. And
but then we have to have, the discussions have to move. Right. Because he's otherwise, and he's walking out
halfway through.
Yeah, no,
I get that. I've been in that bind, too.
It's possible that we might be able to move Laws and Rules to 6:30. And that would
well,
and
it's
that
up would, to, yeah. to those folks.
Yeah.
Well, in the summer we do, because Dave...
Okay.
Well, in the summer I can come earlier, because we have summer hours.
Well, I got to hire somebody no matter when I come. So, anything else?
No.
This could be a very interesting committee if we can do it right. I really believe at different levels of government, it is the most important committee. And if we do it right, if it can be developed over a period of administrations to strengthen it and offer some real positive observations, I think when somebody says, for instance, when I talked about the false alarm law, we'll do this and we will have less false alarms, and next year you check and there's no change, you go, well, wait a minute now. You told us it'd be less. Why aren't there less false alarms? If somebody makes a statement, pass this law and there's going to be no more homeless kids, and there's more homeless kids, well, we got a problem then. So I think we could do a lot. And having said that, anybody else? You guys?
Make a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn?
Second.
Discussion?
Aye.
I can take my glasses off my car.